Bruce Edwin here, HollywoodSentinel.com, back here with a second segment of our exclusive interview with Opal Singleton. Opal is founder of MillionKids.org and the author of Seduced, Preventing Child Trafficking. Opal, it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. We were just speaking, of course, about how these children are basically groomed to be victims of child trafficking. And you had, of course, just mentioned that what many parents don't realize is these children are not necessarily always forced violently and right against their will at the start, but are often participating in their own captivity. Opal, this is something that's really, you know, I've seen and observed. I've seen also, you know, some young women come to me from as a model and talent manager that have told me how other women have approached them and tried to get them into, you know, things that I won't digress into. But tell us a little bit more about that. How do these groups do this?
Well, it's usually either gangs or social media. And we talked about a little bit about the gangs and how they're putting their gang people in school recruiting our kids. The other primary area is social media. And, you know, it's just, yes. In fact, my heart is very heavy today. I just was reading a new article about the new app called LiveMe, LiveMe. And in this case, what it is it's an app where you can, you know, go back and forth, get the girls to sing, to dance, the teenagers to sing and dance. And pretty soon they start giving them virtual money. They're really not getting anything. It's like piling up icons or emojis or something. And so they're even getting 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids take off their clothes, film, and like them.
Disgusting.
It is. It's just, and they have 96 million followers, and this is a real epidemic. But what I want your audience to understand is that they'll come in on some sort of instant messaging app, and they build trust with this person. This is the first generation that will be able to reach the entire world, and the entire world can reach them. And I am in the process of writing my next book, which will be called Societal Shifts, because I believe we're at the most unique time in all of history.
Called Societal what?
Societal Shift.
Shift, yes.
And the reason for that, you have to be careful when you say that, huh? Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. The reason I say that is that in 18 months, the entire world will be connected by internet. So it is not only a world without borders
civilized
for
right,
kids,
yeah.
It's a world without borders for organized crime and pedophile. And also sex traffickers. And so instead of, you know, having commercial sex providers parading up and down Hollywood Boulevard or something, what you're seeing is this is all taking place by meeting on the internet and starting to get them to send a naked photo.
Yeah.
The minute they send a naked photo, then they're compromised. They want more photos. They want money. They want sex acts. And they begin to then, they'll offer, you know, you build this fantasy relationship. And the next thing you know, he's coming out to see her, and she's slipping out the bedroom window, and she's gone. And
well,
she's gone into sex trafficking, and that's the other primary way we're seeing this.
You know, it sounds like a cliche, but unfortunately it's true. And I want to jump into a couple quick topics here. January, roughly about a year ago, ABC News, some of the major networks reported, and you probably know this better than I do, Operation Reclaim and Rebuild.
Yep.
56 rescued victims, multiple girls, 500 arrests, 30 traffickers, right here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles Times reported in 2017 over 200 cases of trafficking instances were filed. And so this is, you know, people say that there's a lot of myth in, and I blame some media for this, not all media, but yeah. Some media, particularly I'm going to argue that independent, so-called independent media, likes to argue and say that trafficking, child trafficking is not a bad or big problem. What do you have to say to that?
Well, Well, first of all, we participated in Reclaim, and we had 17 people that were arrested out here.
Good.
Just out here in Riverside, we had over 200 cases, and in one case, I had one of the cases I brought in had 120 victims, all kids. So I can tell you, number one, this is not only very real, but it's getting even bigger. I call it scale and scope. You know, when you start having 22 pimps in a case, when you start having 120 victims, these cases are large, they're complicated, they're diverse, they're multidimensional.
Okay.
In other words, they're covering multiple states, which
yes.
is really scary at the thought of losing your child being taken out of state.
Question, let me interject here. Why is it getting bigger? Why do you feel?
Because of the availability of the people that can be brought into it. Just like we were talking about with social media, now, you know, you can literally have a pedophile right in your living room in the back seat of your car talking to your child.
Right.
And if your child doesn't disclose it, they're building a fantasy relationship.
Yeah, and they have no idea who they're speaking with.
That's right, and maybe this is a really important part. I would like to share this with your with your audience. This is important to understand. This. I spent 2 hours on a case this morning. What happens here is these people come in, and when a predator comes into your child's life, they only will give them a little bit of information, and the kid makes up what they want to hear. And that is very important for a parent to understand that because, you know, if they were having a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, they would know stuff about each other. They might get the conflict. They may not agree and like that. But when it's a one-sided relationship with a pedophile just giving a little bit of information, that victim makes up all the stuff.
Right.
So that when the parent is in an argument in a tug of war, they're saying, you're grounded, clean up your room. And he's saying, hey, baby, you're hot. What is happening here is mom and dad are not arguing with a girl and they're not arguing with a boyfriend. They're arguing with the fantasy. And when your parent gets in a tug of war with a fantasy, they're going to lose if they don't understand it. And
right.
That's why I wrote my book, Seduce, The Grooming of America's Teenagers. It is all about that grooming process.
Well, thank you for doing that. Something I just glancing over the case of Operation Reclaim and Rebuild, busting those traffickers about a year ago here in the LA County area. I observed one thing I noticed, and I want your thoughts on this. Some of these traffickers in that case, I read, they had luxury vehicles. They had luxury sports cars that were worth hundreds of thousands of dollars per car, up to over $1 million per vehicle. You know, cars that young girls, young person will look at and they'll be like, oh my gosh, so excited. I want to get in this car. I want to see this. How do these traffickers use money? How do they use money or fame to trick kids? What's your experience on that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the first thing is that, you know, they come in there like they're big high rollers and this kid falls in love. The way they get those cars is they use our kids that are literally into forced sex acts. Some of them 6, 8, 10, 15 times a night.
Sick.
And all of that money is going back to the pimp. And if they're part of a cartel, all of that money is staying with that gang and that cartel. We had two cases out of Fresno, and in both of those cases, one was preying on foster kids and local kids, and one was recruiting through social media. Both of them that were making around $50,000 a week, and that money is going to the gangs. That's how they had those cars. Then they used
right.
those cars to lure in our kids.
Exactly. What is the solution to, I know there's no easy solution to this, and, you know, evil and perhaps in this, for at least a while, will, you know, arguably will always exist, but on this planet, but we can at least make a dent in it. How can parents, how can kids be more safe in your view? What is the solution?
I think, first of all, it's being willing to recognize it, educate yourself about it, and then educate your child about it. Because most kids, if you make it very clear to them what is happening, they understand it and they want to be leaders in it. Now, there will be kids who are vulnerable that are like that have no home life or a broken home and those kinds of things. And those kids are more vulnerable because they're desperate for love and approval, and especially male approval. And so it makes them, you know, it's all about being available and vulnerable. So for me, when I go into school or I talk to parents, we talk to kids about don't be available and don't be vulnerable. Don't be easy. Don't be low-hanging fruit, you know.
Right.
Be taking all kinds of adoration from strangers and know who you are and what you stand for. And for parents, the key is educating yourself and them and then talking to them about being a leader. And I believe it. That this generation, this is going to be part of my next book, we must create the next generation, this generation, to be the generation of self-responsibility, because we're handing them devices that reach over a billion people, and yet we're not educating. We just say, be careful on that thing, you know?
Right.
Doesn't get it. We need to be, I personally, as you know, I want to create a documentary for the entire United States on, you know, understanding their role in history and saying they must be, we as law enforcement and as parents can no longer keep them safe. You have disappearing video, encrypted messaging, vaporware, cryptocurrency. We can't get search warrants for that stuff, and a parent can't see what is being done.
Yeah.
So we must back up and take a look at this and start a mass education program about, you know, a portion of you are going to get lost in this generation if you decide to play with fire, because we can't protect you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it just reminds me again, and it's a really, really annoyance to me when I read articles I've read in certain publications that this simply is not a bigger, you know, rising problem. You have statistics and facts and experience that refute those lies. Can you tell us a bit about those statistics or anything in that regard?
Well, as far as the actual cases go, I mean, just little old Riverside County with 200 open cases and, you know, a lot of victims in it, I can tell you it's very real. When you see not even just sex trafficking, things like sextortion and social media exploitation like you're seeing with this Live Me, you literally are seeing thousands and thousands of kids.
Yeah.
That are being, you know, some sort of being sexually exploited in some manner. And so this is, I mean, I am not a person to say the sky is falling, but this is really reaching a proportion that is hard to describe. As I said, I had one case out here with one perpetrator that had 120 victims in it that we could identify.
It's disgusting. Is it, let me ask you this from a law perspective. Are the laws protecting children enough, or are they siding with the perpetrator?
Actually, you may be surprised by this, but it's very frustrating because so many activists have gotten involved and they've gotten the laws upside down so that it actually hamstrings us.
How is that?
They recently, last year, passed SB 1322 in Southern California, all of California. And SB 1322, apparently there were some people that believed that law enforcement was arresting the victim. Now, we weren't. We have all kinds of victim services. But they made it now, they changed the law from we can't arrest her to we can't detain her. And that just is a nightmare of a law, because if we can't detain her, we can't get a search warrant and we can't check her phone. Without checking that phone, we can't see all the other girls that she's traveling with that are in danger.
Right.
Can't see who's violating her. We can't see the sex buyer. We can't see her ads. We can't see where she's going. We can't see where she's been. If she does not raise her hand and say, would you take me and put me in a safe house, which does not happen, by the way, you know, then we can't do anything under the age of 18. So that law needs to be corrected. That's SB 1322.
And who passed that law? Who was responsible for that?
There was a lot of good people who meant well. I mean, legislators and activists alike.
Yeah.
And their line of thinking was, well, we've got to show law enforcement that this is a victim and you should not arrest them. went too far, and I don't think they themselves understood the impact of what was about to happen. And, you know, they're not bad people, but once that law got implemented, think about what's happening here. You have all these gangs who are using 17-year-olds to run their ranks because we can't touch them. You know,
and terrible. So that needs change.
To them, what the end result would be.
So, how can our listeners out there? How can they make a difference to help change that? Just as
I think they need to contact their congressman and say, please take SB 1322 and take it back. We can't arrest her. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with the idea that victims are victims and they need to be treated as victims and
right.
They should not be arrested.
No.
However, you know, it got a little crazy.
At least let's be able to communicate with them, right? And get the information needed.
Yes. Before, oftentimes these 15, 16-year-old kids, they're in love with their pimp, and they're still seeing it as a boyfriend, even though they're out there having commercial sex.
And they're just victims, and they're just, yep. In my view, Opal, and tell me if I'm right or wrong here, my view, a lot of this comes back to a lack of self-esteem.
Oh, there's a big piece of that, quite frankly, is that what happens is, and the statistics are 60% of people in teenagers in prostitution come from foster care.
So 60%.
Homeless, runaway, and pregnant kids.
Broken.
Now, that was always true until we've started to have this big epidemic of social media. And what you're finding now is it's regular kids because they're on social media. And in many cases, kids with money because they're playing in the dark net. They have kids with a little bit more money can get that Tor router so you can go. You can't just go back and forth between the clear web and the dark web. And you need a special router called the Onion Router, TOR. And so kids that have a little bit more money, that have a lot of free time, you know, are getting into the dark web. And that's where boys end up getting violated.
Yeah. Well, Opal, we could speak much longer at length here, but I know you're busy. You've got a lot more work to do. Is there any final thoughts you want to share on really what parents can do to help protect their children better? What is the solution here?
Well, I think the first thing is educate yourself. If you don't want to, do a whole lot of reading, but you want to know about it, you can buy Seduced at meandkids.org, and it's $16, and it will teach you a lot about it. Follow Me and Kids on Facebook. We post new cases every 3 to 4 hours on there, and that's a great education that you can get there. If you're really a zealot and you really want to get involved in it, you can go to exploitedcrimes.com. That's the website I have that has over 60 hours of free human trafficking training that you can download for free on it. It's exploitedcrimes.com/listen. So the main thing is educate yourself about it and then begin to talk with your kids about it. And, you know, don't start with no, because no is a very short sentence.
Right.
You know, start out with, I need you to be the leader. You're this next generation. You know, I usually start out with, it's my phone and I'm going to loan it to you because I'm paying the bill. Mm-hmm. Not because it's my phone, I'm going to check it. But I'm going to give it to you because I think you're going to be a leader. I believe in you. That's really key.
Good. Have some respect and mutual respect.
That's
as a friend.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want you to teach me these apps because you're a technology wizard and I'm techno-impotent, okay? So teach me the apps, but I'm going to check your phone regularly because it's really my phone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of, you get a relationship between you about, wow, what an amazing time to be alive, but it's also a scary time, so I'm going to look out for you and I want you to look out for me.
Yeah. And even not beyond seeing where I'm going to check your phone, we're going to share this, you know.
That's right.
If they're buddies, you know, parents are their kids' friend and their friends, they can communicate with them about anything. That's a winning relationship. So Very good advice. Well, Opal, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I hope you'll join us again.
Thank you.
Everyone, visit Opal's site, millionkids.org. Millionkids.org and also exploitedcrimes.com. Opal, it's a real pleasure and thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
HollywoodSentinel.com. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.